Blog Talk Radio.
You got it. You on there? Go ahead. Are you there, Pastor?
Hello, Apostle.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Well, I tell you, God is so good. The Lord is so good. But I just want you to know, I thank God for your movement, what God is doing in you and through you. And I know God has a great work for you to do. Praise his name.
Glory to God. Thank you, Apostle. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, go ahead. You got the program.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for another day. Thank you, God, for your apostle and the great work that you're doing, spreading his word all around the world. I tell you, that's how disciples are made, with the word of God.
Amen.
Well, tonight, if you got your Bibles, if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 78.
Amen. All right, praise you, Father.
Psalm 78, and we'll begin reading at verse 40.
All right.
Psalm 78, verse 40 through 53. The Bible says, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? That's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to provoke God. You don't want to provoke him. That word provoke in the Hebrew is mara. And it means to make bitter or unpleasant, or to resist or come against. You don't want to provoke God. You don't want God to get bitter with you or unpleasant with you. You don't want him to resist you or come against you. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Mm-hmm.
How often did they mara? Mara is the Hebrew word for provoke. And they provoked God in the wilderness. They provoked God. How often did they provoke God? God got bitter with them. He came against them.
Yeah.
Verse 41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. God wanted to do some awesome things for them and to them, but they limited him. That word limited in the Hebrew is tavai. And it means to grieve God. It means to limit God. For example, you were going to get your son or your daughter something great, a great present, but they begin to act crazy again and disrespectful again, and you change your mind because they grieved you. So they caused you to limit what you were going to do for them. We don't want to limit God. God has awesome plans for us, and we don't want to tavar. We don't want to grieve him. We don't want to limit. We don't want to cause him to limit what he was going to do for us. The Bible says, yea, they turned back. They turned back. They retreated. They turned away. They turned back to the point of departure. They turned back to where God had delivered them from. They turned back to doing the things that God had delivered them out of. They turned back. They shub is the Hebrew word shub. They turned back to the point of departure.
Yes.
You know, over in the New Testament, Apostle, Jesus says that when a man returns to his old ways, it goes back to doing the things he was doing, it says he's like a dog returning to his vomit. you don't want to do that. You don't want to turn back to doing the things that God has delivered you from, that Yahweh, that Yah has delivered you from. That you don't want to do that. And the Bible says right here in verse 41, yea, they turned back. They shub. The Hebrew word for turn back is shub. They shub. They turned away. They returned to the point of departure. In other words, they went back to the things that God had delivered them from. They went back to the things that God had delivered them from, and that caused God to limit what he was going to do in their life. Yea, they turned back. And they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand.
My God.
They tempted God. They tempted God. They remembered not his hand. I'm in verse 42. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought, done his signs, miracles in Egypt, and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Yes. And it turned their rivers into blood. Man, God did a lot for the children of Israel. And, and so he's telling them, don't turn back. Don't tell them, look what all I've done for you. I've done signs for you. I've done things for you. And they turned, and he had turned their rivers into blood.
Yes.
And their floods they could not drink. He sent divers sort of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail. Now, I tell you, God tore up the Egyptian stuff, didn't he? I tell you, it's not a good thing to mess with God's people. I tell you, he tore up the enemy's crops. He destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He sent caterpillars to eat up their food. He turned their water into blood so they couldn't drink. I mean, my God, I tell you, you don't want to be an enemy of God.
No.
The Bible says in verse 48, he gave up their cattle also to hail. Hail was falling out the sky, killing the cattle, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. Good God Almighty. God was causing hail to fall out the sky and kill the animals of the flock, the food of the herds of the Egyptians, and he was sending hot thunderbolts. Hot thunderbolts. Those hot thunderbolts were killing the animals and burning them up at the same time because they were hot thunderbolts.
Hot.
Good God Almighty. It says right here in verse 49, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger. God was venting. He vented. He loosed his wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Good God Almighty. God even has charge and control over the evil angels that were thrown out of heaven with Satan, with Lucifer. You know, a third of the angels got thrown out of heaven along with Lucifer.
Yes.
And they became evil angels. Where it says right here that God sent the evil angels among the Egyptians. Glory to God. Among the enemy of the children of Israel. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence. And he smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like flock. He led them safely. God led his children, the children of Israel, he led them safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed the enemies. The message God has given me is don't turn back.
Don't turn back.
Don't turn back. God's done too much for us. He's done too much for us, and we shouldn't turn back. The Bible says that when you turn back, you limit God. God has great plans for you. But when you turn back, you limit what he wants to do in your life.
Yes.
He limits you from the bad attitude. He delivered you from the bad attitude. Don't go back to having a bad attitude. He delivered you from sulking and being depressed and discouraged. Don't go back to living and being that way. He delivered you from gossiping and slandering. He delivered you from dope and alcohol. Don't go back to doing those things. When you do that, when you go back to what God has delivered you from, it limits him from doing what he wants to do in your life. God has he's come to give you life and give it to you in a big way, more abundantly,
yes,
to the overflow. But we limit God when we don't want to behave the way he wants us to behave. We limit God when we go back to what he's delivered us from. I would be slapped out of my mind if I would go back to doing dope. You know, I was a dope addict. Did dope for 8 years. Now, God has delivered me out of that mess. He delivered me out of crack and coke and all the drugs I was doing. He delivered me from that. And now what he's saying here in the scripture, he's saying if I go back to that, it's going to limit him from doing what he wants to do for me in my life.
Yes.
And so that's what God is saying to everyone who's listening tonight. All of us have been delivered from something. All of you have been delivered out of something. You know, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Yeah, everybody has gotten delivered out of something. And God is telling you, not only me, he's telling you who are listening all around the world tonight, don't turn back. Shub is the Hebrew word for turn back. Shub. Don't shub. Don't turn back. Don't return to what God has delivered you out of. Your bad mouthing, your bad attitudes, your unforgiveness. Turn back to those things. Your doubting and unbelief. Your thinking God's delivered you from thinking small to think and brought you to thinking big. Don't start back thinking small. God delivered you out of doubt and unbelief to walking in faith. Don't go back to walking in doubt and unbelief. Oh, glory to God. Don't turn back. Why is it so important for us not to turn back? Because we want all that God has for us, the abundant life, spiritually, physically, financially, and socially, in every area of our life. God has big plans for you and I, but he will not release the harvest in our life if we turn back. Because, see, when you turn back, it says that it limits God.
Yes.
Look, over in Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9. See, here's another scripture in the New Testament showing us that God don't want us turning back. It doesn't please God when we turn back to what he's delivered us out of. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus said, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Jesus said. Who's saying this? And Jesus said unto him, No man. Having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There it is again. God says, if you turn back, you're not what? Fit
for
the kingdom of God. You're not fit. You're not qualified. You're not fit to receive from the kingdom of God. You're not fit to receive the abundant life out of the kingdom of God. You're not fit to receive from the kingdom of God when you even think about turning back, when you even look back. And so that's why God says, don't turn back. Don't turn back. You limit God from doing, you tie God's hands. When you turn back, you tie God's hands. I remember years ago, I backslid. I backslid and went back to the worldly things, and I went back to drugs and everything, Apostle.
Yeah.
I was assistant pastor at New Faith Missionary Baptist Church on Rodney Lane in Austin, Texas. And my pastor in Austin, Texas, on Rodney Lane, his name was Pastor Brian Edmondson. See, this is a testimony, not a testimony. I'm telling the truth. That's why I'm giving you the details. I was assistant pastor, had my name on the door. My name was on the door, Apostle. I was assistant pastor to Pastor Brian Edmondson at New Faith Missionary Baptist Church on Rodney Lane in Austin, Texas. And I went back to my vomit. I went back to doing drugs. I went back to chasing women. I went street doping and staying up all night. I went back. And I tell you, it limited what God wanted to do in my life. It, like, put my life on hold. I almost died out there. Only by the mercy of God, I made it back, and I'm alive today. But I'm a living witness that it didn't limit God from doing what he wanted to do in my life. He couldn't do in my life when I was what he wanted to do, and I'm out there smoking crack and doing dope. He couldn't do in my life. He couldn't do it. I'm sleeping around with everybody I could. He couldn't do in my life what he wanted to do. I limited God. I tied his hands from doing what he wanted to do in my life because I had what? Turned back. So that's why God is saying, don't turn back. And you know what? Some of you all may say, oh, Newsom was bad. He's a horrible person. But some of you all are turned back to your bad attitude.
Oh, my
God. To your negative talking. And to your negative thinking. Some of you all are turned back right now. So don't look at me like I'm such a villain. You know, I'm sharing my testimony with you. And God is saying, don't do what I did. Don't you turn back. See, some of you all haven't left the church, but you've turned back in your heart.
Yes.
You've turned back in your heart. You've turned back in your mind. Your way of thinking is all jacked up. You've gone back to thinking in a bad way. You're thinking the way that God had delivered you out of. You've gone back. You've turned back. And God says, don't turn back, because when you do that, you limit me from doing what I want to do in your life. He says, when you turn back, when you put your hands to the plow and even look back and even desire the things that you used to have, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's what that's what Yeshua said.
That's right.
So he's saying tonight to those who are listening, don't turn back. You got a chance. You can change right now. That's the good news. You don't have to. You can change. You can turn back to doing things God's way. You can come back. You can come to your senses. And you can untie God's hand and begin to do the things that he wants to do and has intended and desired to do in your life. Don't turn back. Now, what's one of the things, what's some of the things that we can do that will help us not to turn back? Well, number one, in Psalm 78, verse 42, listen to what the scripture says. He says, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. So, number one, what can we do that will help us not to turn back? Remember how he delivered us from the enemy. remember how he delivered from the enemy. When you begin to remember how God delivered you from that car wreck that was designed by Satan to kill you, you will get grateful all over again. You'll get grateful. Gratefulness will come up in you, and you won't even begin to even think about turning back. But you got to remember how God delivered you from the hand of the enemy. That sickness that you had, it was designed by Satan to kill you. But God came in the nick of time, and he delivered you from the hands of death.
Yes, he did.
He delivered you. So you got to remember these things that God delivered. You got to remember how he delivered you from the hand of the enemy. Remember when years ago when you slept in the car? You had to sleep in the car. Didn't even have a house to sleep in. But God has delivered you from the car to sleeping in your own house. Remember, he delivered you. He said, remember those mayonnaise sandwiches and those ass sandwiches and the sugar sandwiches? Mayonnaise sandwiches? Yeah. He's delivered you from eating mayonnaise sandwiches to steak and chicken sandwiches now. Remember how he's delivered you. Remember when you were lonely and discouraged and you were in scarcity, you were broke and you were in lack? He's delivered you from those times. So, well, you have a job now, you have income, you have money coming in now, and you're living better than you ever lived before.
Well, that's it, brother. That's
you.
It.
Remember how he delivered you from scarcity, from lack. Gratefulness will come up in you. And that will cause you not to turn back.
Not.
We're looking at some things that we can do that will help us not to turn back. Number one, remember how God delivered you from the hand of the enemy. Number two, remember the miracles that he's done in your life. God's done miracles in your life, unexplainable just miracles that God has done in your life. Look at verse 43, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. He was performing miracles in Egypt for the children of Israel. He was performing miracles. He opened up the Red Sea. That's a miracle. You don't see seas divided, split in half every day. That was a miracle.
See,
God
brother.
Opened up the Red Sea and let his people through, and then he drowned the Egyptians. That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
God was feeding them with quail from the sky, had quail and manna from the sky.
Yes.
Bread from heaven. That was a miracle.
That was a miracle.
Remember when you didn't have any food that time, and then all of a sudden there was a knock at the door and there was someone bringing you some food? That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Remember when you needed to pay a bill and someone came by and just handed you some money? They said God sent you somebody to give you the money to pay the bill. That's what? That's a miracle.
Yes.
Remember the miracles that God have done for you that will cause you not to want to turn back.
God bless you.
And my third and final point, remember how he's fought for you. Remember how God has fought for you. God has fought for you. Everybody, all of us need someone to fight for us.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Apostle? All of us need someone to fight for us.
That's right.
Man, they had been in bondage, the Israelites, they had been in bondage for over 400 years.
Yes.
Man, they probably didn't even feel like fighting, but God fought for them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they probably, they would work like, they would work like dogs. They would work harder than animals.
Yeah.
But God fought for them.
He fought for them. Yes,
God
indeed.
Fought for them. Look at verse 53. And he led them on safely. God led the Israelites, he led them safely, that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He led them safely through the Red Sea, then let the Red Sea close up on the enemy. He was fighting for them. And so remember how God fought for you. I remember years ago, Apostle. Years ago, Apostle, I was a bully magnet. I was a bully magnet when I was in elementary. Well, what I mean by that, it seems like bullies were just drawn to me. I mean, man, they would follow me home from school and pick fights with me, man. My God. Even bully girls would chuck rocks at me. It was a bully girl named Sharon Hunt. She would stand out from afar and throw rocks at me. I said, my God, man, you know, I just want to live. But I was a bully magnet. And, you know, I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't a fighter. But God, I was a Christian. But God fought for me. You know what he did? He raised up a young man named Michael Red from the neighborhood. Raised him up, and Michael Red was a fighter. He would tear bullies up. I tell you, he could fight. And God called, turned his heart and caused him to take a liking to me. And, man, one time a bully was messing with me. Boy, Michael Red went over there and said, man, what you doing messing with my cousin? He took his belt off, man, and wrapped it around his hand and started whipping that guy with the belt buckle. Started beating him and said, man, don't you mess with Newsom no more. Don't you mess with my cousin. I knew that was God, using Michael Red to fight for me. To fight for me. God will raise up people on your behalf to fight for you. It's God all along. It's God doing that. He will fight for you. And when you remember how God has fought for you, that will gratefulness will come up in you, and that will cause you not to turn back. And so that's the word God wanted me to give to everyone tonight. Don't you turn back. You might think that you don't have anybody on your side. I tell you, God is on your side. And he's on your side. He's raising up people to fight for you on your behalf. Don't you turn back and limit what God wants to do in your life. God has some big plans for you. He has things planned for you that your eyes have never seen, your ears have never heard, your heart has not even imagined. Those are the things that God has planned for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Don't you give up. Don't you turn back. Don't you turn back to your evil and wicked ways that God has delivered you out of. Remember how he's delivered you from the enemy, and you won't turn back. Remember the miracles that he's done in your life, and you won't turn back. Remember how he's fought for you and is fighting for you, and you won't turn back. Don't turn back and limit what God wants to do for you in your life.
My God, my God, my God, my God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God is so good. I tell you, and I like it because you took us back to the point and said, "Don't turn back."
No, sir. Don't do it,
y'all. Listen to what the man of God has said. Don't turn back. Because it's a dark plateau out there.
Plateau
God. And I believe tonight has been blessed for him. And God has just been blessing me. Just I thank you for everything. And I know I got our friend. I know that the pastor is here. I know God has given him a word for the nation. Are you there, Pastor Aaron?
Yeah, I'm here. Praise God. How you all doing tonight?
Good.
I'm sorry I missed last week. I had some other things I got involved in.
I had put a warrant out for you.
Well, they found me.
We want to go ahead and put him and put a rest on him. We're just going to take it down to the court. I'm
going to
be back. I know everything's all right. What's been going on in your life, Pastor?
I've been doing good. I've been busy. God's been blessing me, ever since God put it on my heart to build that place down in El Salvador for that warehouse and the other stuff. I ran across a pastor, a friend of mine. I was telling him about it, and he says, I want to get involved. I want to help build the warehouse down there. So I want to get my church involved. And I said, well, praise God, So, and then when we prayed that one time about finding a building that I might be able to use, and I got a phone call from another guy, and he said, hey, I got a warehouse. And he said, let's sit down and talk. And I said, well, praise God. So, and knew all this work I got, next week sometime, I'm going to sit down and talk with him, and so we'll see what we can work out on that. But God's been busy. He's been blessing me, and he's been, if you're staying in faith and you're constantly doing the will of God and stay encouraged, it's just like the apostle says, don't turn back. But, I've been working with another friend of mine from Mexico. He's a minister. And he's been helping me out, and And he was talking to me, and he says, he does a lot of evangelism, tent ministry and stuff. Uh-huh. And he says, we have the keys. And I said, well, yes, this is true. We do have the keys. When Jesus went and took the keys from Satan, Satan took the keys from Adam. Adam had the keys to the kingdom of heaven and earth and everything else. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, he says, what my Father has given unto me, has I give unto you. We have the keys. We have the keys to unlock the door to the kingdom of heaven. And we have the keys to unlock the door to the pits of hell. You know, it's just our attitude and having faith in what we're believing in. We can believe in prosperity, and we can believe we can walk in despair. Those are the keys that we got. He's given us. We have a choice. You know, it's even one fellow told me one time. He says you know, says God doesn't send nobody to hell. He says you send yourself to hell. He just holds the door open.
Oh my Lord!
So you know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful of what we're talking and what we're doing. But you know, like I said, we hold the keys. Jesus made us the caretakers, just as God made Noah the tiller after the fall of Adam and after he destroyed the world and everything in it. He made Noah the new tiller. It's in the scripture. And out of his, out of abundance of his life and everything else, you know, he can carry on. It's given unto us everything. And see that even with the seed of Adam, Abraham, you know, we have the keys to life and death.
We do.
And it's just how we want to use them. And we, like I said, we can use them for good, we can use them for evil. But we're going to be held accountable both ways. Either way we want to use them, we're going to be held accountable. You know, it's like you said, Apostle, it said, don't turn back. You know, God delivered you from drugs and alcohol, me too, and a lot of other things he's delivered me from. We get discouraged sometimes. You know, that's what Satan does for us. He brings discouragement into our lives, you know, and gets us off track. And we start looking at the things of the world and not at the kingdom of heaven. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about in one of my messages at church. I sat there and I said, you know, I had a dream. I says, I woke up and I went into this warehouse. And I'm going, I got to check this warehouse out. There's something I got to. So as I went into the warehouse, I noticed the tapestry and the artwork on the walls. It was all ripped off the walls. And I continued to walk along and I seen the empty shelves. And there was labels on the shelves. Some were names and some were other things on the shelves that were. And they were empty. And I slowly walked around it, and I took my finger and pushed the door open. I didn't want to put no fingerprints on anything because, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And I opened up one door, and the door opened up into like a back alley, and it was and just empty, basically emptiness.
Mm.
Then I seen another door that was behind a veil. And the light was so bright, the door was cracked open, and I could see the light coming out from behind that door. So I sit there, and I went back, and I called the police, and I sat there, and I said, hey, I said, somebody broke into my friend's warehouse. You need to come and see this warehouse. So when I got there, the police were giving me the second, first, and third degree, and I said, what are you getting all over me for? I says, I'm the one that called. I said, this is my friend's warehouse. You need to come in here and look at what's going on. And so we walked around, and I was showing them and everything else. And we heard a noise and turned and looked, and there was four people standing up against the wall.
My God.
And I said, look, there they are. And the one, he turned to the left, and he took off running, and the cop chased after him, and he tackled him, and they turned into dust. And the other one come, the other two went off to the right side and we were going around, and the other one walked up to me and he took my flash out of my hand, and he said, because I was ready to swing at him, he said, "You don't need this anymore." And I woke up, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to decide what's going on with this dream. What in the world is going on? And I discovered that warehouse was my warehouse. All those things, because of my sin, all my past life and everything else, everything God had planted for me, that he had given to others, because the way I was living my life, he gave what was treasures that were saved up in heaven for me, that he had given to others, that I had lost all that. And I kept looking at this, and I kept thinking, and I said to him, I said, "Lord," I said, You're the God who will restore and make new." And I saw his face, and he shook his head no. I discovered that I had lost everything that God had for me. And as I repented, I kept thinking about the other door with the light behind the veil. And it dawned on me that it was my second chance to walk through that door, through that veil. And God is not a God that renews. He makes new. Because if you renew something, why would he renew something that took you to the place of tragedy to break you to everything else when he will replace it with new things, new life, new beginnings? Because you change your life and your attitude. And in the middle of everything else in your life is that you know that you have to begin to respect God for who he is. Because what he do for anyone that you see that has been rich, that have been broken, that you could even see the kings who have lost nations because of their disobedience, because they thought they were bigger than God. You know, God is a merciful God and a loving God. And he loves each and every one of us. But you know, when I sit there and I talked about that warehouse and to the congregation, I look upon their faces and every one, it was silence. Because each and every one a warehouse of their own. And they were sitting there wondering, "Why, God? Why? Why isn't this? Why, God? Why not? Where is it, God?" And then they have to sit there and ponder on the fact of the sins that they had committed during the time of their promises, that they were walking into the covenant of God, only to slip. God, he doesn't stand there with a stick over your head and beat you. But he tells us there are consequences for our sins. And sometimes there's those gifts that are lost. But you, like I said, he's a for loving God. He's a God of mercy. And in going through that door through the veil into the light, that gives me a chance for riches untold. It gives me a chance once again to live that life that God had planned for me in the first place. But knowing that everything that I had in the past that were on them shelves, that were on them walls, were lost forever. Because they were given to others. They were given because of my greed. They were given because of my lack of understanding. They were given to others because of my lifestyle that I was living and jumping in and out of bed and with whoever and whatever and all the other things, all those things, you know, we're held accountable for in our lives. And when that pastor sat there today when he was talking to me, Harvey Ever was talking to me, he's telling me, he says, "We hold the keys." And I said, "Yes, we do. We hold the keys to our own life. We hold the keys to prosperity. We hold the keys to good health. We hold the keys to life. and more abundantly. Because Jesus died for our sins, and he knew that he had to sit there and fight the devil in his own territory, in the pit of hell, and take back what Satan stole, what God had given unto Adam, the kingdom of heaven, life more abundantly, all the joy, all the peace, and everything else there was with it, God had given to Adam, who lost it, that Satan stole, that Jesus retrieved, and he's given it back to those who come to Christ, who come to the cross, and give their lives to be restored for that abundant life, for that riches untold, the things that we don't see, but know that it's just for the glory of God and his love for us, that he has more than enough, more than we can even imagine or even dream of or thinking to happen, you know. And a lot of times it's not material things. There's so many things in the spirit realm that are far more precious than anything that we can have. You know, I'd still like to get a Harley. I haven't had a bike in a long time, but I keep looking and say, boy, I sure would like to get one. And it's getting more dangerous out there, and I think the only reason why I don't have one is because God's looking out for me. And I say, well, praise God, for the most part. But it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, God loves you. He loves you. Whoever's listening right now, God loves you. And maybe there's things, like I said, there's things that you've done that you repented for. You know, and there's things that we can sit there, and there's so many people sit there and say, they forget about the fact that well, I screwed up and I just repented, and they go on for that glory train, and they go on, which is, this is good, don't get me wrong, but they forget the consequences for their actions. You know, God has it there for us, and it's up to us to be able to have the knowledge and understanding and how to receive it and how to sit there and take care of it. And, you know, at the same time, we can lose it. And we can lose that key. Just as much as we can lose every piece of ground that we have gained by slipping back into sin, back into to unforgiveness. We can slip back into things that, like the apostle said, that we've been delivered from. You know, and you know, even God said there, and he talks about the fool going back like a dog to his own vomit. You know, many people do. Many people continue to go back to their old lifestyle. You know, they get to a point, they sit there and they get in the churches and the praise and worship music is going, and they get caught up in all the flash and the circumstances and everything else, and they walk out the door and they hadn't even realized what they'd done. You know, there's many people who go into churches and they hear the word of God, and they walk out the door and they leave it right there at the pew. There's other people that when they get up and they walk out the door, they walk out on top of their blessings because they were full when they came in. They hadn't come in hungry. They hadn't come in thirsty. That cup that they came in with was full. And as the pastors and the preachers and whoever else is sitting there trying so hard to fill them up again, it's just overflowing. It's running onto the floor. And they get up and they walk out the church and they walk right over top of their blessings because they can't receive it. You know, we hold the keys. We hold the keys. And a lot of this is our attitude as to how we are to live and what we're to do with those keys. So my best suggestion to you is if you know that you hold the keys to life, your life, even though you've given it on to the Lord, God gives you the reins to live your life. He tells you it's best to live this way or it's best to live that way, but it's up to you to understand and not question, why do I have to live this way or why do I have to live that way? Well, Tommy down the street doesn't live that way, and he's blessed, and he's gotten all these things, and Mary's she's blessed all the time, and she's got all these things. She don't have to live like that. Why do I have to live like that? Because God has something for you special.
Say, brother.
God has something for you that's special that Tommy doesn't have or Mary doesn't have. He has something for you. And if you can't get into the line and you can't get under him and surrender to him and do as his will, your warehouse will be empty. One day you will have a dream and you'll wake up and you'll realize that warehouse that you walk through that we see with the labels, the tapestries on the wall and the artwork and all the other things from your life, it's all gone. And you're wondering, why, Lord?
Why?
And all you have to do is go back and go back to the beginning and see. It's not that you failed. It's that you never really gave God the chance to do what he wanted to do in your life. You never really fulfilled your promise when you gave your life to the Lord that you would seek him and do his will and not your will. Your will died at the cross to receive the atonement, to receive the blood of Jesus, to receive a new life, a life in Christ. And we can't do that. Holding on to the keys, hoping that we've got the keys to the kingdom. And if you look at the key in your hand is of destruction. You need to understand what key you have. You need to understand how to use the keys that God has given you. And you can't. Without having the wisdom and understanding. And a lot of that is listening to your pastors. A lot of that is reading the Bible constantly. Just keep abreast of what's on the word. And keep in prayer. And keep with the Lord. Even though you don't hear from him today, tomorrow, you haven't heard from him in a week or a month, that's all right. He's still there with you. Because if you receive Christ, Christ is in you. And what you need to do is start looking deep within. I tell people, they say, well, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I tell them, so, well, go look in the mirror. If you're in Christ, he's looking right back at you.
Wow. Oh, my.
So, so I'm just saying, you know, for everybody who's listening and needs to know, if you're having trouble, you know, you need to look and see what kind of keys you're holding in your hand. Are you running that path of destruction because, well, you want, and not what God has desired for you? Are you holding the keys of destruction in your hands because your unwillingness to do what God has called you to do or wants you to do or asks you to do? Or are you holding the keys of life, that of prosperity, and all the good things in life because you're being obedient to the Word of God. You're being obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, we all have our troubles and we all have our trials. And God said we would. But it doesn't stop us. It doesn't stop any one of us to taking the right key and unlocking the door that God has for you. All it takes is faith, understanding, and believing in the Lord that everything he asks you to do, he's doing it for your own good. He's doing it because he loves you, because he has treasures in heaven untold. I suggest that maybe that you start looking at that door that's was half cracked open that you're seeing through the veil and step through the veil and walk through that door to God's riches, untold riches, and to his glory. And put this life that you have right now aside, put it away, because those keys that you're holding for that of the flesh and that of this world our keys to death and destruction and grab the keys of life that is in Christ. Guys, that's my word for the night.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My God. Ain't nobody but God.
God. Amen. Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Well,
hallelujah.
We just say praise the living God because God has been so good to us. You know, one thing while we both on the line, I want to say this. Today has been a day that we have to continue to pray and don't turn back. Whatever
Amen.
You do, don't turn back. When I got the news this morning and saw that a place that they asked the president don't trust him, but all the nations said, yeah, we're going to trust. Iran tested a nuclear bomb today. They went up
to
Iran. They sent one and they tested it. And so now, all I can say to everybody, I love you, brothers, but the soon
love
is
you
on
too.
The way. See, this time, we don't know how soon it's going to happen. Everything is lining up according to the biblical teaching. Like I just said, no, listen to the apostle. He went back and told them, he took them from the book of Psalms all the way back to the book of the laws and pointed out where God watched over them, how God turned their water to blood, let the locals eat their food, let everything happen. I said, good God almighty. That's an awesome God. And he took his own people and made my life sheep. But
oh,
yes, they and we're God's people, we don't want to rebel. No, we don't want to rebel.
No,
rebel
sir. No,
is a spell. I call it a binding spell. A binding spell of ignorance and stupidity. But I'm telling you, right now, and then we got the people say we have to keep the world apprised of what's going on. Those of us who know he's coming back. But when we hear things like Iran's got a bomb that and tested it already,
wow.
All we want to do is get back and see. America's got to go. America say, okay, we're going to see what kind of team we are. We're going to put a clap down on the money. All they wanted was the money. That's all they wanted. Look back. Don't look back. Iran is going to be destroyed because it's written in the Bible. So eloquently, and God is calling the people, and I see more people, apostle, pastor, God's got it. I said, tell me, how does God have it? God, if God got it, he got you to see, he got your hands and legs to do what he wants done through Jesus Christ. No, God's got it. I said, no, you're just a lie.
That's right. You know,
God
wants us to do it. He wants us to do the work. He called
yes,
us
thank
to.
You.
Yeah, he called us. You know, I talked to a pastor friend of mine. I sit there and I says, you know, I says, so many people are complaining. They said they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray to God and they keep praying. They say, God, how come this isn't happening? I says, well, God, he ain't listening to God. God's telling us to get up and do something about it then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said,
but
if you pray about it, I say, okay, go for it.
Go for it. I like what you said. Go for it.
That's right.
And so I was saying also to some other people about some issues, and I said, one of the things we got to do, sometimes I turn everything off in my house at least 4 hours, only letting it turn on, just turn it off. Let that be complete silence. Whatever God wants to say to me, say it to me, Father. And I tell you something else. I got this phone and the earplugs, and I put it on at night and listen to the Bible. My God, my brothers, I'm telling you,
Amen. That's awesome.
So much peace. And I see sometimes my legs with my hands and everything like it's getting, I said, healing is progressively. And somebody said, well, honey, you know, well, you tell everybody you heal. I said, I told you, I am healed.
Yes, now, amen.
But by the stripes that Jesus Christ bore on his back, I, Willie J. Hunter, and, am healed.
Yes.
I
yes.
am healed. And I, yes. I called him, and I was telling him about the paper that the doctors gave me. I said, I want the devil to know I'm going to throw it in his face every time because he throws it at me. I'll throw it back.
That's it.
He says, no focal A-T-R-O-P-H-Y. No malignancy identified. There's at least 12 different statements here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 12 different statements. No malignancy found. In other words,
glory
he comes
to
he said, Miss Sonoma, well, we can't find no, we just, he said, we'll see. Miss Sonoma, we can't find no cancer.
Amen.
Amen.
And gave me the place where they went in my body and punched on the left and the right. No left mile. Received information, single tissue, cord. Okay, but everything I got, I read, I says, okay, God, I got to go and thank God for everything he's done for. So if the Lord bless me, I put this in a, I'm going to take this and put it in a book and put it on the wall. By the stripes that Jesus bore on the cross.
Yes.
And through his back, I, Willie J. Hunter, am healed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I said, well, don't we tell everybody about you got healed? I said, why not? I got to spread it. Jesus told me to go and tell.
I can tell somebody
that's in the same position. And I was telling people that they're on the prayer line. Somebody asked me to go on the prayer line. First thing I want to talk about, well, God's got it. I said, no, God ain't got it. I said, I hate to correct y'all. Y'all may tell me to leave your prayer line, but I'm going to tell you, God ain't got it. God gave it to Jesus. I said, you want to prove us? I said, go to the book of Hebrews. God, who at certain times spoke to us by the prophets, the kings, and to the priests. But now he speaks more excellently. He speaks better. He speaks more in his language. He speaks more fluently through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, hallelujah. But can brother, what God has prayed? Paid a price for, don't look back. And the testimony that the pastor gave, can we imagine in our own thinking the day that Jesus Christ was beaten so bad? Beat me on understanding. Didn't even open his mouth.
Right.
I said, oh my Lord, I don't know, Lord. I couldn't do it. I said, oh, my Lord. I couldn't. And see, the time is now. That's why I thank God for you, brothers. May I share something with y'all else?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all know the prisons are something else.
Oh, they sure are.
They are. And God has put it in my heart. He said the prison, that's when I had that up in Glasgow, and had that big revival about the prisoners, setting the captives free from the prison. And then God said, he said, that's why you had that program. Nobody showed, but they're going to show up now because the anointing like never before is getting ready to fall over. Everybody's working with you. I said, oh,
amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Oh, my God. God said, this is what he said, and all they could speak to him in a foreign language, all I could do is say, would you water with okay, but I suck water under the kitty under. All I could do was say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'm on your team, Lord. But I'm
saying, amen.
I took notice of one thing. Jesus never looked back.
No, he didn't.
He never looked back. Good God Almighty.
Glory to God.
Can you imagine? In today's society, they don't even want us to preach about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in his fullness. Oh, he walked the street of Pasadena. No, but you got to understand, before he walked, he never looked back.
Amen.
He never looked back.
He said,
I must go and do my Father's will. We can't look back. We got to say, I got to go and do my Father's will. We got to.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty. Looked like I was in your church past and I was in the spirit. I said, good God Almighty.
Amen.
And around, I said, Lord, have mercy. What's going on? He said, that's the church when they get ready to come and take this one. People need help.
Amen.
And we're the one that can help, but they got to come and listen. You can't come and play the game with the men of God, the holy men of God. We're not going to let the game be played because we're going to keep a watch for it. And see, the Bible tells all of us, he said, beware. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears up. Listen to it. They told me in the military, they said, everything that moves out there, you got to know the sound of it. You got to know the sound of it.
Yeah.
And I said, why? They said, we're going to show you. They said, close your eyes. And something right in front of me, bam, they said, open your eyes. Said, that wasn't nothing but a bag that was 10 feet from you. But you got to know the sound. So that's why I keep listening. You see me turn and listen? I'm listening for the sound of the Spirit. The Spirit won't lead us wrong.
No, he won't.
He won't. And see, right now, I'm putting this all together to send to you, brother. So y'all can go on Facebook, hallelujah. And we just can do some things. One other thing I wanted to say, while God is still on my spirit and speaking to me. When this lady, I heard about her, her name is Le Jean Lefeu, I think it is. And she's French, all out of Louisiana. Been all in Africa. Been in the prison, I've been there and retired from the prison system. And I heard her teach, and I said, my God Almighty, my brothers, a prayer answered through her. And prior to me meeting her, I met a man called G-Man. His name is George Williams. G-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was in prison since 1990 to 1999, he said he just got his probation and 20-something. And all of a sudden, now let me show you how God operates. He said, I refuse to look back on her. It's because I'd have been through hell. I was a drug dealer. I know this. I did this. I understand this. I understand that. And that's why your message just blessed me tonight.
Amen.
It blessed me. And see, when that woman came on last night and taught last night, my God Almighty, I heard her teach like I've never taught before. I know I can do a ski taste of teaching. But this woman takes God a gift with the Word of God. She took the Word of God. She said, I'm going to tell you, God has given me this gift to read the Scriptures, but to bring them into reality. She said, when we go and read, we're going to read, she said, we need to understand. We need to research, record, repent, and receive. And take it right into the Word. I said, oh, Lord. Went down the Word. And so I said, okay. I said, woman. And so I went out. So I said, okay, Lord. I said, leave it alone. And when the woman just, she taught, my God Almighty. I mean, retired from the Texas Department of what they call them, what they got them in, the inmates. She retired.
Right. Yeah.
She retired. And she said she'd go back into the school, into the prison, try to bring them out. And when she talked to that brother, they talked about almost an hour there talking about things they want to do, what they can do. See, all God wants to is hook somebody up. Once we hook them up, it's up to them whether or not they want to go. And so, I'm going to miss you, Pastor, Apostle Pastor, but on Wednesday night, they're going to be on for 1 hour. I said, oh, my God. She said, I got more people that you never think of come on the line. I said, good God Almighty. People that's in prison. People that you wouldn't even know got some, they went and got some degrees and living in high places and doing things because they didn't look back when they God brought them out of Egypt. I said, this apostle is teaching. He's not only preaching history. He's also preaching the now. He's talking, preaching the then and the now. So God bless y'all. I want to thank y'all.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
God bless you.
Amen. And Pastor.
You too,
and
Apostle.
So I just want y'all to know, give me a few days and I'll have something to tell y'all. Somebody said, somebody ought to put it on Facebook. That's what I'm not putting on Facebook. It's already on Facebook. The devil and the demon, they already know it. So, Father tonight, I want to thank you for my brothers. I want to thank you for their loyalness. I want to thank you for their obedience. I want to thank you for their love. I want to thank you for them coming with a word of encouragement. We're not arguing, we're not fighting, we're not fussing, but we want to thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you,
and tonight,
Father,
we pray for the president. We pray for the president.
Yes,
we pray for the House of Congress, the Senate, and the representative. We pray for the Supreme Court. We pray for every governor, every mayor, every elected official, that they will come to understand they got to stand before God.
Yes.
And then, Father,
yes,
we just ask that you, in Jesus' name, that you would just watch over those of us who are calling on your name, that we might preach the unpreached and tell the untell, that Jesus Christ is soon back. And, Father, I want to thank you for when you brought it to Daniel's attention. But while Daniel was praying, and the angel came to Mr. Daniel, he said, I would have gotten there early, but I was held up by another who had to fight him. I had to call Michael. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, to fight the fight. So where we are here, where we are, Father, tonight we say thank you. And I want to thank you for the increased ability and the viability you give unto my brothers on the line with me, and I pray, Father, that everything will be there, be socially there, be monetary there, be needs there, and everything.
Thank you.
And I know that the best, we can always have the best because you give us the best. You give
yes.
us all that we need, and I want to say
thank you.
I want to say thank you for
the
competing on our bodies and our minds and our understanding. And thank you for those that we have to care for as a man. And we watch over our wives and watch over all that you've given us to do, Father. I want to say thank you. I want to love you until we come again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And God bless y'all, and I love you until next time. Peace be with
you. Amen.
Love you.
Shalom.
Okay, bye-bye now.
God bless y'all.
All right. Good night.
Good night.